time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, and we are rolling along. It is now Thursday. Josh Beard is with me. This is Vanessa and Gallant. Of course, Paul Gallant is still on vacation. Paul, we don't know where you are. It looks fun. We hope that you're okay. We hope the people are not clapping as the plane lands. We know you hate that. Sean Mapes behind the glass, as always. And like I said, Josh Beard, kind enough to stick around with us and fill in as Paul continues to enjoy his vacation. Josh and I are both, this is definitely a Thursday. If you look at my hair, if you'd like to join us on Twitch, I have this, it's a bun at the top of my head. This is day three hair. Yes, I've showered. I just have not washed my hair. This is day three of that. So there's definitely going to have to be some hair washing that happens tomorrow. And you have a lot of coffee. You have had a lot of coffee.
I've had the most coffee. I decided it was a good idea after we got done with the show yesterday to, hey, Josh, why don't you go home and stream in front of a camera in your office for 10 hours? So it was a great idea.
Was the initial plan 10 hours?
No, the initial plan was to go home and do literally anything else and then do my normal thing and stream at night. But there were a couple of things that I had to take care of for my requirements. So I was like, oh, I guess I'm streaming for 10 hours today. And so I did that, and my body is hurting because I sat in a chair for 10 hours. Well, I did walk around a couple of times to go to the bathroom, but other than that, yeah, I was sitting in my office in front of a computer for 10 hours.
So it develops into 10 hours streaming because why?
So specifically for me, I had an ad incentive that I had to hit. It's kind of like doing a read on the radio. I had a certain amount of hours I had to stream for the month, and I – because I am amazing at math, miscalculated how long I had. I got the date wrong. I thought I had a couple more days. I thought I had three more days to get it done. And then when I went to look at the ad incentive, it said, you have 10 hours left and you have one day left to get it done in. And so I was like, oh, okay. So I have 20 hours to get 10 hours of streaming done.
Oh, wow.
I have no idea how this is going to happen.
Yeah, math.
But if you miss it by 1 hour, I had to do 62 hours for the month. If I got 61, all that money that I had been working towards for the month would have been gone.
Can I ask a dumb question? Yeah. I must confess, I don't really watch Twitch. You should, Twitch viewers, but I don't. What are you doing while people are watching you? Are you playing a video game?
Yeah, I did sports talk. I talk about sports and play games a lot of the times. I do sports talk specific stuff a lot.
While you're doing video games?
Well, usually I try to separate them for the most part. I'll do like a sports talk segment, and then I'll jump into video games later. Or
Robert Flores makes money doing video games.
Yeah, he plays MLB The Show, and you can make good money doing it, too.
So when I met him, I thought he was kidding when he said that, and I laughed that he made money playing video games. But I guess you can do it, and good for you.
Yeah.
Josh is a great follow on Twitch. Do I watch it? No, but you should. And we appreciate him being with us all week long. He was here last week, too, as I took vacation. Paul now on vacation. So we appreciate Josh Beard. Give him a follow on Twitter as well. All right. It's the story that never ends. Deshaun Watson, day three of his hearing is today. The former honorable, the retired? Sue L. Robinson, the neutral arbitrator, hearing that those discussions. It seems like when you look at reporters and their tweets and what they're saying, people that are quote-unquote in the know, that this may be a while. Now, I do think it's going to get done before training camp. I don't think the NFL is going to allow the whole process. But we heard a couple of days ago Ian Rappaport talking about there could be appeals, there could be all of this. So this was Peter Schrager yesterday on the Pat McAfee Show talking about this process.
I can't project on this because it is so fluid. Things were going one way, and then you get more women coming out and saying, actually, hey, no, there's more women coming. And that door is left open. So those numbers have continued to add up. When you talk about the legal thing, you've nailed it, Pat, where it's here's the recommendation from the judge. Usually those are held in very high regard. And then Goodell will make a recommendation or make a ruling on that. Then the NFLPA will appeal that. But then the NFL can appeal the NFLPA's ability to appeal that, which is what happened with the Brady case. And it goes all the way up the courts, and you miss games, and the guys go in, and then they go back. I think the NFL, from their standpoint, would like to have a decision on this in the next couple of weeks before we head into training camp. And I believe Watson's camp would obviously be hopeful that he can get on the field. And the Browns, of course, would be happy to get him on the field. I think the public relations part of it, which you guys were discussing beforehand, I'm not so sure that's going to dictate how this goes. I think it's going to be from the facts that they have and from the recommendations that Ms. Robinson has on, that Justice Robinson has on this.
So I do call BS when I was watching this yesterday. I do call BS on the part where Peter Schrager, who, don't forget, I think he's great, but he works for NFL Network, says, I don't think the PR will have an the PR, the optics, all of that absolutely is in the mind, at least of Sue L. Robinson. Now, you hope she can be biased or unbiased, excuse me. Absolutely in the mind of Roger Goodell.
Well, and Eve, like, she's probably been advised by the PR team on a lot of certain things too. Like that, there, you can't convince me that they didn't have a conversation with her before she even went into the hearings with Deshaun Watson to say, they probably say, okay, these are the optics. This is what we're trying to project, and that we need to act accordingly on these things, or at least step very carefully around these things as we come to a decision. I just think it's hilarious. I saw a tweet yesterday and I pulled it back up. A Browns fan, Browns Twitter. I feel so bad for that fan base.
So, okay, the fan base, though, not like the administration.
No, we almost had
to have some conversation.
No, the Browns, like I said yesterday, I want them to lose everything forever until the end of all time because of the contract they gave to Deshaun Watson. But one Browns fan yesterday on Twitter said, seeing Baker Mayfield host a charity event the same day Deshaun Watson is having his legal hearing, only after the Browns said they want an adult at quarterback, is the most Cleveland Browns content we'll know and love. And it's true. It's Baker. Yeah, he had his quirks. Yes, he had arrogance issues and things like that. But for the most part, he's done great things in the Cleveland community. He's been a good person to have on the team. His teammates, I think, for the most part, we've never heard of teammates hating him or having an issue with him. And the fact that Baker Mayfield and his marriage with the Browns is just torn apart because they went for somebody else who's going through legal proceedings who might be suspended indefinitely is hilarious. It's comical. And I mean we've talked about what this suspension could be. We talked about it could be indefinite for at least a year, right?
It is unprecedented.
It is. But I think the Browns deserve this. Deshaun Watson deserves to never play in the NFL again. And people can get mad at me when I say that all they want. I don't care. But the Browns deserve this. The Browns organization deserves this. For trading for a guy, not only trading for a guy, which I understand, I guess, but giving him the contract that they gave him, they deserve all of these things. And they don't deserve to have any kind of PR, any kind of NFL PR swings that in their favor or anything like that. I think that Sue Robinson and Roger Goodell needs to make a recommendation to Goodell, and Goodell needs to make something that clearly makes an example, not just of Deshaun Watson, but of the Cleveland Browns as well. There needs to be an example made by both of these parties, the Browns and Deshaun Watson, for other players and for other NFL organizations who would dare to give a contract the way the Browns gave to Deshaun Watson again. Like, there needs to be a clear example made of the Browns to say, look, we're going to suspend him for a very long time, and you're not going to have any success because of the way you gave him that money.
And that's where I always go back to what I've said a million times, and you're going to hear me say this ad nauseum if you listen to our show, which is the Browns took a gamble. It may be a gamble. It may be a risk, guys, that gets them to the Super Bowl in 3 years. It may. I mean, Deshaun Watson's a great quarterback, and they have a loaded roster. But you know what? Sometimes when you gamble, you lose. And we always hear stories of people that bet on themselves. And we always hear the positive stories, the Steve Jobs, the whatever, the entrepreneurs, the Bill Gates, the Beatles. Like, we always hear the success stories. Guess what? Not every story is a success. Sometimes when you gamble big and you bet big, you lose. Somebody on Twitch just said something. I don't know if I should out him with his name. But he said, for the record, I just noticed yesterday that Vanessa was blocked on my Twitter. Apparently, my girlfriend felt threatened by me liking a Vanessa post and blocked her while I was asleep. Clearly, a trusting relationship. Bud, get on out of there.
Really? Just from, I guess, if she's secretly blocking. Yeah, that's fair.
I just noticed yesterday that Vanessa was blocked on Twitter, meaning he didn't do it. His girlfriend did it from his account.
Wow.
Whoa.
So, full disclosure, when I told my wife that I was filling in for Paul and I was going to be working with you, she told me, but she was like, I was like, she's like, did y'all work well together? Like after Monday, yeah. Last Thursday after our first show, I was like, yeah, it was great. I think the chemistry was there. She's really nice. She's great to work with. And my wife was like, oh, is she? I already looked up everything. She told me, she's like, I already looked up, saw who she was. I wanted to see what she looked like. But she told me, so at least I knew about it. But like, oh, man, even it doesn't go away even after we've been married for 16 years now.
Yeah.
It never goes away.
But your wife didn't take your phone and block.
No. She did it. She did her own. She did her own sleuthing on her own phone and then told me that she did it because she wanted to know who I was working
with. She was just doing her own research.
Right. Exactly.
What it comes down to.
She was doing the due diligence that a wife must do.
This unnamed Twitcher, his significant other, little bit more, took the next step.
Yeah, that's
a little intrusive.
I mean, and just if you're listening, ladies, I don't want your man. It's all good. Anybody that's listening, I don't need to be blocked. Trust me. All right. So day three of the Deshaun Watson hearings, of course, we'll be talking about that throughout the day. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, a collision with the Astros. Plus, we really need Paul for this segment. Is James Harden a good guy? That's next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
I'm being blocked on Twitter by listeners' girlfriends / wives.
Stop sliding into people's DMs,
you
Vanessa.
You do not have to worry about me. You read a funny comment on the Twitch.
Yeah.
Somebody said... last chick I dated wanted to play the chasing game. I opted out. Adios.
I would never do that.
Nope.
Not in a million years.
Nope.
I
get jealous. I get uninterested.
Yeah, exactly.
Very quickly.
Yeah, I don't have time. There's too much going on in the world and too much that I'm trying to accomplish to waste time with other people's hubris. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, I'm not going to sit there and try to coddle somebody else's pride. I'm going to do – that's why my wife and I have been married for so long, because we both get it. Like, I knew pretty early on that she was going to be somebody that I wasn't going to have to – she wasn't high maintenance, and I wasn't going to have to, like, do certain things. She was just like, no, I can be my own person. You can be your own person. We'll come together. We'll be married. And it's been amazing. I would be miserable in the dating game right now, and I would make people miserable. It would be awful.
You know, I'm not mysterious. Okay, like that, a lot of women want to be, and I understand, like they want to be mysterious, because when you watch movies, you read the books, it's like, there was just something about her. I didn't understand. You always know with me, there's zero mystery. I will tell you if I like you. I will tell you in a nice way. If I no longer like you, you will know if there's going to be a second date. Like, I'm not the girl where you're like, I just can't reach the back of her mind. Nope, no mystery here.
I've watched too many true crime podcasts, or listened to too many true crime podcasts, and watched too many documentaries. If a girl is mysterious, she's probably going to murder me. So I don't want the mystery. Yeah.
Murder's
Too many guys want mystery. It's overrated.
Yeah, that's why the divorce rate's 50%. Grow up, guys. We do have a caller. Willie is on the line to talk about Deshaun Watson. What's up, Willie?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
I had a question about Josh. I wanted to know if he had a problem with the women, or he got a problem with him getting money.
Wait.
Both? I guess is for a lack of a better answer for both of them. I have a problem with him getting the money after he had 24 allegations against him, and specifically with the way the contract was formulated to insulate a year-long suspension. Like, the entire thing feels gross. He sits out a year of football because he's being whiny. I mean, look, I've worked construction jobs. I've worked hard jobs. I've worked blue collar jobs. I've worked my entire life. It's hard for me to feel bad for a dude who just got a guaranteed, fully guaranteed $230 million contract, or who had just signed his old contract. He's like, I don't want to play football for you anymore. Like, it's hard for me to feel bad for that guy. And then all of a sudden there's sexual assault, multiple sexual assault allegations against him.
Multiple.
He gets traded. Yeah. He gets traded to a new team. They give him a fully guaranteed contract that's structured in a way to allow for a year-long suspension. And I'm not supposed to have a problem with either of those things. A, Deshaun Watson is a gross human being for doing that to those women. It was all about a power play for him and trying to force them into situations they didn't want to go in. There are multiple different avenues that he could have taken if he wanted that kind of gratification and that kind of satisfaction. But it was all about the power he had over those women. And then he gets rewarded. Yeah, like, yeah, he's probably going to have to sit out a year, but he gets rewarded with, we heard yesterday Andrew Brandt say, a $45 million signing bonus because he's only going to lose $1 million in that first year salary. And then he has an also fully guaranteed other 200 some odd million or 190 some odd million dollars. Like, yeah, I have a problem with that. And I also have a problem with the women. I have a problem with both things.
You have a problem with The things he did to the women.
No, I don't have a problem with the women.
I just heard the women.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to make sure your point was clear on that. We're certainly taking you guys' calls all throughout the day on things involving Deshaun Watson and this situation as day three of his hearing continues with the Honorable Sue L. Robinson. All right, last night the Astros beat the Mets 2-0. They've had some success against those New York teams so far. But there was a moment where Yordan Alvarez and Jeremy Pena collided. Did you see this, Josh?
Yeah, I did.
It was nasty.
It was terrifying. And at first, I wasn't fully paying attention. Somebody in my chat said, oh man, Yordan and Pena just collided. So I looked back at my screen and looked up at my TV. And the next thing that I saw was Yordan Alvarez. They're putting him on a cart and they're taking him off the field. I'm like, what is going on right now? So I was kind of out of it. I was paying attention, but only half paying attention. So I was really concerned that something bad happened. But the collision, if you go back and watch it, the collision is comparative to the amount of damage that was caused. The collision was awful.
Yeah, it was. And it didn't look good. And listen, you don't want anybody to get hurt. Let's make that clear. But you really don't want Yordan Alvarez and Jeremy Pena getting hurt. So this is what Dusty Baker had to say after the game about that incident.
Well, we don't know yet. You know, they're getting further evaluation on a number of things, so just don't want to jump to conclusions yet. And, you know, I'm not a doctor, so I don't want to start, you know, guessing on what it is or what it could be. And I don't want to think the worst. I want to think the best. So, like I said, we have to wait, you know, to see what it is.
You think they'll be able to fly home with you?
I have no clue. I don't think they're through with the evaluation. I don't. Like I said, I don't want to jump to conclusions, so we just have to wait.
All right, so that was Dusty Baker. Again, these are two guys that you don't want to get hurt, especially when you are almost, let's face it, in July, starting tomorrow. So we're hoping to learn more about that. In other news, Justin Verlander is good. And this Astros team, as we talked about a couple of days ago, guys, the national media, it's like they're begrudgingly admitting that the Astros are going to be good in October.
Yeah, at some point you can't continue to deny it. You could try, but whenever they're one of the best teams and continue to be one of the best teams in baseball, and they're nationally visible, they're visibly beating some of the other best teams in baseball that everybody wants to love, it's hard to continue that hatred. I will say I saw a couple of different writers or a couple of different reporters yesterday on Twitter saying that they saw Jeremy Pena and Yordan Alvarez walking around in the clubhouse under their own power. They seemingly were okay. They're walking around in the clubhouse, which I think is a pretty good sign, especially if they were doing concussion protocol or concussion evaluation and things like that. But you don't want your best player to get hurt. I mean, all we've talked about all week is how much of a tear Yordan's been on. And Pena, we talked multiple times about how Pena's been a guy who has very easily stepped into a crazily important role for the Astros, and you don't want to see either one of those guys get hurt. And it was interesting last night when you talk about the national coverage of that. You know, usually when we see something like that or something bad, something scary or something bad happens for the Astros, it's just us, right? It's just Astros Twitter. It's us here in the city of Houston and Astros fans talking about it. I mean, you had people, you had Mets fans, Phillies fans, Yankees fans that I saw that were all talking about, man, that collision looked, that looked bad. Well, that's because they were watching the game.
Right,
right. And that's what's cool is it's not just the media starting to watch and pay attention. Exactly. It's the fans. When we talk about this being such a regionalized sport, and really a lot of people only pay attention to the teams that they're fans of, or that of the city that they live in. When you have people out of far out of state, you know, people that and fan bases that have been hating on the Astros for the last 5 years, when you see that they're turning on the game to watch the Astros versus the Mets, now you know, oh, okay, people are starting to really start to recognize the Astros.
We need Paul Gallant here for this, and we'll touch on this throughout the show too, because we want your opinions. A lot of people around here have very strong feelings about James Harden. Windhorst, Brian Windhorst reported that James Harden will reduce his salary down to the mid-30s. So I was trying to find the math on this. It seems like he's leaving about $5 to $6 million before hitting the apron for trades later in the year. So he's giving up money. James Harden is not known to be unselfish. If anything, he's known to be selfish. Does this mean James Harden is a good guy? I say that sarcastically, of course, but with all seriousness, I was actually surprised that he did this.
I'm not surprised. I'm really not surprised. And it's for one reason and one reason only. James Harden loves Daryl Morey.
Oh, he loves him some D. Morey. That's true.
loves Daryl. I'm just phrasing. He loves Daryl Morey so much. And he loves playing for Daryl Morey, and I really honestly think he would do anything. We saw this in Houston somewhat, where he's willing to do anything that Daryl Morey suggests to help the team win. But it's only things that Daryl Morey suggests, and if it's Daryl Morey concocted. So I think I am not surprised by this. I think he's a neutral guy. I definitely, if it were anybody else, he would have been selfish. He probably would have opted into that massive albatross contract. But Morey has this, he's like the hardened whisperer where he can convince him to do anything. So I'm not surprised by it at all because he wants to win a championship. I think he has a good chance in Philadelphia if they make some good moves. And he loves playing under a Daryl Morey system. So this doesn't surprise me at all.
Todd the show says the ladies at the club would beg to differ. He is very generous. James Harden, yes, also does like to have fun. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, it is time for our NFL segment. Which quarterback do you expect to improve the most this coming year? Let us know what you think. That's next.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Cat, hut.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
71 days. 71 days until we have some good old American football. NFL season is going to be upon us first. Of course, we'll have training camp. We'll have some of those meaningless preseason games that the veterans always hate. And then we will have Bills Chiefs. We'll have Bears Packers. We'll have Texans Colts question rivalry. Who knows? But we're excited. I do want to address something first. The Texans stole from us.
How did they steal from us?
Sean had a money graphic yesterday. Or 2 days ago, was it, Sean?
Yes, this was 2 days ago.
We were asking which NFL player has the most in him. And Sean made a great graphic. The Texans tweeted one out that looked exactly like his, only instead of a dog, it was Lovie Smith.
Chuck
the question was, all the Texans have a little dog, and then they crossed out dog and put Lovie in them.
Which, let's be honest, doesn't make sense.
At all.
Or if it does make sense, it seems like an inappropriate relationship for the players to have.
Sounds not good. You told me this was already a meme.
Yeah, with a dog face. The background of mine was already... Yeah. I added pictures of NFL players that have the most dog in them in the graphic.
Okay, so maybe the text.
You stole first.
Well, no, I would say I was more using a meme added upon it.
And it was a trend.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I find it no coincidence that the day after we put our trend out there, all of a sudden they hop on the trend and change it a little bit.
Yes, this is also where I figured out that I did not follow the Houston Texans Twitter account. Never had. I think I unfollowed them at some point.
Well,
I think I unfollowed them during any of the myriad of
you
reasons
probably
they gave
also,
me to.
It's funny you say that because there are people that I think I follow on Twitter, But then I realized I don't. It's just a lot of people that I follow retweet them or favorite their content. That's probably what happened with the Texans. You're Houston Texans 71 days, and I know you are excited. Quarterback Davis Mills, we hope to see some improvement from him. But I think the subject of AFC South quarterbacks is fascinating in general. You have Matt Ryan. What's he going to do? You have Ryan Tannehill, who I've never believed in Ryan Tannehill. I've been vocal about that, and somehow the Titans have managed to hang in there, but then had a disappointing playoff run last year.
My wife would leave me for Ryan Tannehill right now.
Really?
Yeah, she's always...
I'm going to block him on Twitter for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Vanessa. I appreciate that. I loved him when he was at A&M until I realized how much of a crush my wife had on him, and I can't stand Ryan Tannehill. It's only been worse since he's come to the AFC South.
Ryan Tannehill, you are blocked. Davis Mills, what will he do in year two? And Trevor Lawrence, what's he going to do now that he's a competent coach, year two, the rookie hump is over, whatever. So this is what Trevor Lawrence told Jenny Dell of CBS Sports headquarters.
I'm just looking forward to really just that new challenge. You know, you have a new season, all the possibilities in front of you. You know, everyone starts at the bottom. No one has any wins or losses. And just getting that chance to start fresh and really build this thing the right way. I think we've had a great offseason, and we're building towards something special and just trying to fine-tune that every day to be as prepared as you can be when that first game comes. And then getting better every week. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, it's such a long season. You really have to get better every week and peak at the right time.
So a lot of PR answers there, but when he says peak at the right time, he's absolutely right. And the Jags last year, listen, they didn't have any peak except against the Indianapolis Colts, and they were able to steal the soul from the entire state of Indiana with that one game. So peaking at the right time is key. I thought it would be for our question of the day, NFL question of the day, and of course we welcome you guys' opinions. 713-780-ESPN or get at us on Twitch. Which quarterback do you expect to see the most improvement from as we head into the 2022-2023 NFL season? Josh Beard, let's start with you.
Mine actually is the guy we just heard. It's Trevor Lawrence.
Okay.
He's really confident for a guy who has a GM that just threw exorbitant amounts of money at mediocre wide receivers. But I do expect Trevor Lawrence with Peterson to make a huge step forward. I mean, he literally had everything going against him in his rookie season. And look, I have no love for the Jaguars. I'm not this massive, crazy Trevor Lawrence fan. But I've watched enough of his tape. I've watched enough of how he throws the ball. And with him, watching him in Clemson, he's going to have Travis Etienne back at the running back slash wide receiver position. Kind of like a running back version of Deebo Samuel, right? I think Christian Kirk is talented, even though he's way overpaid and he broke the wide receiver market value. His offensive line is a little bit better, but like last year, he had to deal with Urban Meyer caring more about hitting on young women at a bar in Ohio than coaching his football team that he's supposed to coach.
That was rough.
The talent on the Jags
and lap dances.
Yeah, the talent on the Jags is still awful. You know, the Jaguars roster isn't great. But I think with Etienne coming in, bringing Christian Kirk, bringing in some other faces and some other weapons for Trevor Lawrence, and really mostly it's him being able to work with Peterson that I think is going to help him out the most. So I expect him to take a pretty big step forward. If he can't take a step forward in his sophomore year with all of those things kind of going in his favor as the Jags are continuing to build and get more talent on the team, then that's going to be a huge red flag for them moving forward. But I think Trevor Lawrence is a guy that we're going to be talking about a lot this year as hey, is he part of this new crowd of quarterbacks coming in? Is he in that Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow conversation?
What say you, Sean Mapes?
This is something I've struggled with during most of the off season. Every time his name comes up, he pretty much gets laughed at. And I'm embarrassed to admit that I'm a believer in Tua Tagovailoa.
No, you're
That's
not.
Fair.
I'm a believer.
Really?
The more I think about it, the more I think he's going to improve to be a decent NFL starting quarterback. He's not this awful quarterback that last year they had no run game. Well, they went out and picked up a San Francisco 49ers offensive tree, someone off that tree who they just walk off the bus and rush for 1,000 yards. And they also pick up Raheem Mostert. They beef up that offensive line, getting Teron Armstead. And then, oh, yeah, they also get Tyreek Hill, to pair him with Waddle and Gesicki, the tight end. So he has a lot of weapons. And I again, like you saying, you've watched a lot of Trevor Lawrence and watching who he was in college. Tua in college is an awesome quarterback. He could throw the ball. Like this idea that he just cannot throw the ball is not true. I think I am putting my flag on Tua Tagovailoa Island.
There are a couple of clips that everybody wants to go back to of Tua throwing the ball into the ground on like a 10-yard slant. They're like, look, he's not accurate. Tua Tagovailoa historically is a very accurate quarterback. Now he's very accurate from like the 10 to 20 yard range, and then the accuracy issues start to pop up 20 plus yards. But I don't think that's a bad one. I mean, his weapons are great. He's got, like you said, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Cedric Wilson, Mike Gesicki, Chase Edmonds, Raheem Mostert. And I love that pick. That's a really good one.
So I think the training wheels are off with him. So he has to, I mean, they gave him a new offensive coordinator, a new head coach. They have brought in some weapons. So I would like to see improvement. I don't know that we will. My pick for the quarterback that I want to see and expect to see improvement is Jalen Hurts. He has some new weapons. A.J. Brown, right? He has a couple of new defensive players. And here's the thing with Jalen. I mean, he's going to have to watch the interceptions, obviously. He's a local kid. He went to Channelview. When he is having fun, when he is doing the touchdown dances, he's fun to watch play football. And you know what? The NFL is more fun when the Eagles are good because their fans are unfreaking hinged. So I would like to see Jalen Hurts improve. I was not a believer completely in Nick Sirianni as a head coach. Obviously, I liked what he did with the Colts, but I was like, okay, well, how is he going to be? Everybody glows and raves about him. So we'll see what the Eagles do. I would like to see Jalen Hurts improve the most. We have a caller. John would like to talk about Deshaun Watson. Of course, that situation, day three of that hearing. John, thanks for calling Vanessa and Gallant. What's up?
Not just Sean, but there are other people. Being a Houston sports fan, I feel that why do professional athletes get to violate the sanctity of a contract?
Yeah.
Especially with all the money. The contract that you designed with your agent, and I'm pretty sure an attorney, you can just walk away with? That's horse manure.
I'm on the same page as you now. That's happening more and more in the last couple of years. Is that what you're saying, John?
And the more it happens, the more it becomes accepted.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I appreciate the call, John. It's definitely true, and it's something that a lot of players have talked about, and we've talked about with the player empowerment. I do, you know, think it's good when people stand up for themselves in any line of work. But to John's point, it is kind of head scratching how somebody like John Wall or in any sport, these football players, I think the Bosas had held out. Like when it's just very random things where they're just like, yeah, not going to do it. And the league is now like, the leagues, plural, are now like, yeah, okay, fine.
Yeah, I hate it. And I know that the leagues and the teams, really what it comes down to, they're not afraid of the player. They're afraid of the players' unions. They're afraid of the NFLPA and the Players Association. So when you have John, it's ridiculous. It really is that you could sit there and say, okay, we're going to pay you X amount of dollars to play these X amount of games, and this is the contract between the two of us. And then all of a sudden you have all these players across a multitude of different sports saying, oh, well, I don't want to do it because my team's bad. That's the one that really gets me.
Debo Samuel, like, well, I don't want to be the thing that I marketed myself as when I came into the league.
Right, exactly.
And, yeah. Totally different story, obviously, if you're heading into free agency and you maybe make your qualms known heading into that year. But, yeah, don't sign a contract if you don't want to come through with it. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, which NFL player would you want to take a class with? Which NFL player would you want to be your professor? It's going to be a reality for a group of students. We'll tell you who coming up next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Vanessa Ann Galan. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Josh Beard. Thanks for listening to ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I absolutely love this tweet from Adam Schefter yesterday of ESPN. Bengals running back Travion Williams will serve as an adjunct professor at Texas A&M's law school and will co-teach a class on NIL, college athletics, and athlete advocacy alongside sports attorney and business consultant Alex Sinatra. I think that's absolutely fascinating. And he, of course, played at A&M from 16 to 18,
yep.
As Josh Beard knows.
Yep.
I think this is really cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. I actually got I've gotten the chance to meet Travion Williams a couple of different times, and he's a really cool dude, very interesting, and loves talking about stuff like this.
Yeah,
so it makes sense
really cool.
That he'd be an adjunct professor for a class like this. I kind of want to re-enroll just to take the class, just to learn more. It seems like a really, really cool stuff, especially because like a lot of fans in college football want to throw around the term NIL. You got an NIL deal, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But none of us really know, for the most part, how these NIL deal works. How are they getting them? Who are they getting them from? Well, how are they structured? What does it mean? And so it'd be really interesting to take this class and really kind of learn the ins and outs of an NIL deal. But Travion Williams, if somebody has said Travion Williams is going to teach a class, this would be in the same
realm.
This would
be the one, yeah.
Yeah, this would be in the realm of what I would think.
It's funny, according to the article from Ben Baby, who's the NFL Nation reporter for the Bengals with ESPN, he said that this started as a Twitter joke. So Sinatra, the guy that's the sports lawyer, also attended A&M and said the class stemmed from a Twitter joke, but after it gained traction, I'm sorry for assuming that this was actually a man, because it's Alex Sinatra is a woman. She reached out to Williams, and he was enthusiastic about it. I think this is awesome, and
yeah.
Especially you nailed it in the area and the time and the era of NIL would be a better term. Area what? The era of NIL. This is important.
Yeah.
And to have an athlete that can say, look, I'm close to your age. Here's how you can navigate this, and then other topics. I love that. But it led me to this question. First of all, Sean, would you ever take a class taught by an Aggie?
I have. I have before.
You have?
Yeah. I took meteorology 301 because it was a science credit, and it was a very easy science credit taught by Professor Troy something. I forgot his last name.
Clearly had an impact.
You remembered his first name, but not his last name?
Yeah, well, because we would always just call him Troy behind his back.
Oh, okay.
Like, Troy cooked up another tough quiz.
The creatively and appropriately called Troy, since his name was Troy. Which current NFL player would you guys want to be to take a class with?
Oh,
with this person serving as your professor.
Shucks, you said current NFL player. I have two.
Okay.
Actually, I have a fun one,
well,
and I have a serious one.
We could do current or former.
Okay. I would want to take a class with Marshawn Lynch as my professor. I don't even care what the subject
you
is.
You literally, that
did
literally
I steal yours?
Was mine. Yeah,
oh,
I mean,
I'm
I think
sorry.
That's the obvious one, though.
Yeah.
Who else?
He was in a Netflix comedy show. They had like Conan O'Brien and a bunch of different people, but it was Will Arnett. And it was an improv detective show where they'd have celebrities on to like be. And Marshawn Lynch was in it, and he was absolutely hilarious. Like, I would just love to be in the presence of Marshawn Lynch trying to teach me anything. He could teach me about the construction of Skittles. He could teach me about what it's like to just live a life. I want to take Marshawn Lynch 101 from Marshawn Lynch. I want Marshawn Lynch to teach me what it's like to live like Marshawn Lynch. That's the class. That's the professor. I also have one serious one, and everybody's going to laugh at me and think that this is a joke one, but I want to take esports and esports marketing from Austin Eckler.
He's really into that, isn't he?
He is big time into it. Very big personality in the esports and gaming world. And what's interesting about Austin Eckler is he's one of the few professional athletes that can still compete at a high level in his sport while also pursuing content creation in that realm. A lot of other guys have tried it, like Seth Curry has tried it. Obviously, we see Juju Smith-Schuster try the TikTok stuff. And a lot of other professional athletes try to become these content creators, but they have a hard time juggling both of them, where Austin Eckler approaches both as a business, right? If you watch a lot of stuff on him, he's just an insane person anyway. The way he prepares and works out in the offseason is nuts, and it's fun to watch how much of an insane person he is. And I say insane person in a good way, like way more motivated to get things done than I have ever been in my entire life. But the way he approaches his content creation and gaming and esports and stuff like that It's very businesslike. He approaches it the same way he approaches preparing for an NFL season, or the way he approaches preparing for it to play a game. And so because he approaches both things that way, he can be the number two running back in the NFL while still doing these things at a high level. And it's really, I'd love to take a class of him teaching like that balance, teaching everything that he's done from a marketing perspective
in a
realm outside
of world.
His.
Yeah. My former is Chad Ochocinco, just because he would be extremely entertaining. And I feel like it would not be that hard to get an A. My current, I think, would be, and I cringe as I say this, but I think would be Tom Brady. And I say that because I think anytime you can have the chance to learn from somebody that is the best at what they do and is kind of psycho about it. He's also, when you talk about the business thing, people don't realize how many business ventures and restaurants and companies that Tom Brady has invested in.
Yeah.
And how good he's been with his money. So I think from that perspective, just a general business perspective. And then, the underdog thing. Hearing his story, hearing him talk about all of that and how he approaches his daily life and excellence. And, you know, he's been able to prolong his career 10 years past what most people can do. It's fascinating. So mine would be Ochocinco and then Tom Brady. Sean Mapes.
First of all, a little cleanup. It was Troy Kimmel.
Troy Kimmel.
Shout out to
Troy.
Yeah,
meteorologist. Shout out to Mr. Kimmel.
And then as far as it sounds like both of you want to have kind of fun classes with Ochocinco and Marshawn. I'm serious about my studies.
Wow. This guy.
I want to learn how to make money. I want to learn contract negotiation. I want to know that when I'm sitting across the table, I'm equipped and I want to learn from the best. I want to learn from Professor Kirk Cousins on how to negotiate contracts.
Yeah, and not have to perform at a really high level to get that contract.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Get the most out of the value that you bring. Arguably, get even more than the value that you bring.
Way more, and have an entire city love you and everybody praise you and somehow think that it's the right move.
And play the system. Take the, whatever in your line of work is the franchise tag. Take that twice and then leave.
I'm going to go one step farther. I think you should consider this very seriously, because that's what we're being right now is very serious. Mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins still has too much responsibility. Yes, he has negotiated himself into a way too high contract for the amount, for the level of talent that he has and the numbers that he's putting out, but he still has too much responsibility. He still has to do too much work. You still have to go out there for all 17 games and perform. I think you should take a class from one Charlie Whitehurst, the king of almost starter level NFL contracts while never having to start an NFL game.
Guest lecture from Chase Daniel?
Yeah. Blake Bortles will show up and just drink beer while everybody's talking.
I think that there are, and it does depend on what class you want, because, you know, if you want a class on the element of surprise, intimidating people, being a savage, you could go more of the Peyton Manning route. We've gotten a lot of Gronkowskis on the line.
That would be a really popular one. Yacht Talk 101 with Rob Gronkowski.
Actually, Money Management with Rob Gronkowski.
That would actually be a split course. They'd have two professors like the Travion Williams class. It would be Yacht Talk with Rob Gronkowski and adjunct professor Paul Gallant.
Is he? This one time in Croatia.
Yeah.
Is Rob Gronkowski has not touched the money that he's made from endorsements or from playing?
I think he lived off endorsements.
He lived off endorsements
and saved what he played. Invested what he played.
Yeah.
I know that he's fun. I'm not saying that he's being fake. I'm just saying that he branded himself perfectly because the last. You'd think, oh my God, he came in on a camel on his birthday and has a supermodel girlfriend and all this random things, but he's really, really saved his money. Good for him.
Yeah, he looks like the guy who would be bankrupt in about a year after he retired,
right. But
he's going to be fine.
And I would love to take a class with the professor wearing sunglasses as he's teaching it.
Yeah. when the professor is more hungover than you are.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's a lot of angles you could take here, but let us know. Text the show. Let us know. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, somehow a sports radio person may be in legal trouble because of a Freddie Freeman beef. Yes, you got to hear it. That's next.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.